107 and the Adelaide Crows present...
Hodgy Adley!
The Podscast.
Jenkins, a boy! Marks turns, runs, and he kicks it!
Yeah, welcome to the Podscast for Showdown Week. Would you believe it? Port versus Crows, top two teams battling it out in Adelaide. I'm joined, as always, by James Pods Yadley, the podcast is named after him, and the Adelaide Crows superstar, Josh Jenkins, looking a little sore right now. He's going to be missing this week. We're going to find out exactly what happened during that game. But before we get into any of that, let's address the elephant in the room. My name.
Wow.
Say that again, Amos. Let's have a throwback to last week and the way that James described me.
Thanks, Russo. Joshy.
Mate, Div.
Thanks
seven.
For sharing that with our listeners, Russo, anyway.
You've run with Rosso the whole show.
I had him there, Amos. You look like a Rosso. That was funny, but the funny thing was the next night I went home to, you obviously said that you do a bit of stand-up and you're in Melbourne doing some stand-up, and I've gone to Google you and I've typed in Rosso stand-up and some bloke from America's popped up on my screen. That's not him. Anyway, I had to go to the Hit 107 website to work out who you actually were, but we've got through that now.
Who told you at the footy club that...
Wayne Miller actually walked past my room the next morning and said, "How funny was this morning?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "On Hit 107, the whole morning they were talking about you had called Amos Rosso, and I'm renaming the show to Rosso Cat and Angus." And I was like, "Oh God, this is so embarrassing." But it does explain my Google search.
Well, I'm fine with it, mate. I thought you were saying Mosso, so that's how much I'm not tapped into.
Rightio,
it.
Mosso, let's get into this.
That's me.
The thing is, no one said anything. You didn't say a word. Josh just sat there.
I was a coward, John,
over the other side of the desk, did not say a thing.
I honestly thought it was your nickname. I thought you guys knew each other previously, and I just assumed it was a nickname.
After you guys left, we were like, "Did he? Yeah, I think he did."
Anyway, I've got a couple of players at the club now calling me Rosso, which is pretty funny.
That's good news. Hey, we have to talk to Josh because we want to reflect the news, but some of us are the news, and you are the news, JJ.
It was like 1999 here. It was the biggest news since Modra left, I reckon, this week at the Crows. It was unbelievable.
So what happened, mate? Just talk through the incident and then what happened after the next few hours and days.
Yeah, I feel a little bit like Nick Riewoldt, to be honest. Nick was gone for the season a couple of weeks ago, and now he's back this week. And yeah, I guess it was interesting. The soreness I was in was obvious, and I went downstairs, as you do, underneath the MCG, and the doctors, or the club doctor, we had two with us, took a look at me, and I was in a fair bit of pain.
So you winded, or what kind of pain is it?
It was just a really pointy elbow. I was from a first gamer too, not the biggest fellow either, so that didn't do me any favours, but I was in a lot of pain and went downstairs, and actually the I'm not sure if it's the AFL or the MCG or the Oval have their own doctor now at each venue, and they requested he have a look at me, and it was his decision and his view that I should go to, you know, the guy said, "Well, you're not coming back on the field." And then he said, "Well, yeah, we're 5 minutes around the corner, so we may as well go and look." Particularly had some soreness up in my shoulder, which as the doctors say is usually a good telltale sign for some internal bleeding. So we went and got it all checked out. And as much as I felt like a bit of a goose being in the hospital with nothing wrong with me, we wouldn't have known unless I went.
Now, is there a moment when you're in the hospital, because you're getting some stick after you posted the photo where, you know, you're okay, and then you're actually fine. There wasn't happily no ribs or real bad damage. Do you go, "Can we just say that I've done something and I'm going to push that?"
I was actually walking laps with Matty Bode. I was walking laps with Matty Bode on Wednesday, and he said he had a similar thing back in his career, and he was laying in hospital. He was at the x-ray machine or something. He's actually thinking, "I hope there's something wrong with me." And as much as you obviously don't want something to be wrong, but you're thinking, "I'm in the hospital. If there's nothing wrong with me, I'm copping it from all parts." And, you know, fair enough, I have, but... at the time, I felt like I was going to die.
And what happens? Did you?
Pull the white sheet over him, he said.
Going to die.
Pull the white sheet.
Doctor, give me the morphine. Goodbye, sweet world. What happens when you're in there, by the way? Because the game, it was earlier on in the game, so you're in the hospital, you realise you're okay. Do you watch the match on, what, an iPad, on the TV in the room? What
yeah, happens? Steve McAvaney came with me, one of our trainers came with me to the hospital, jumped in the ambulance and came for a ride. So we watched... I got x-rays straight away, and they said, we can't do CTs until your soreness is better. So we watched the whole second half on my phone, which was great. We were able to sit back and watch the boys perform really well. And
How's that for you watching the game? The one that, because it must be weird to be watching a game you were just playing in.
It wasn't too weird. I was sort of my whole thought process was just hoping we won. So I was sitting there. We were sitting there purely as fans, hoping that we would win. So it was not too bad. It was certainly surreal and a bit different, and hopefully something I don't have to encounter again. But it was good to sit there as a fan.
Imagine back in the day, like in the 80s and that, when a player went to hospital, like Josh had his phone on him, so you got to watch the game. About 5 minutes after the end of the game, all the coaches and players are in a group chat. We've got a text message from Josh saying, mate, guys, I'm okay. Well done in the second half. So
how did that go down in the room? Was there anyone saying, oh, Josh?
There was genuine concern Josh, and there was still genuine concern 2 or 3, 4 days later. I think the good part of this story is he's actually okay.
So you'll be back next week, mate?
I should be, yeah. I probably didn't get as close as I had hoped to playing this week. I don't know. Pikey said he would most likely name me in the team and then make a decision, but I probably didn't get that close, so there's no point trying to play any tricks or anything like that. So
you've been stalked all week though, haven't you?
I have, just by
physios.
Yeah, got stalked yesterday at a closed fitness session. In fairness, we did it outside in the open. So someone filmed that, and one of the physios told him to get stuffed and rack off, and he said it was public property. I'll do what I want.
He's in a bus stop filming it.
So
it was weird that he had a trench coat, but other than that, it was
anyway. He was nude. Let's move on.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting week, the reason we made the decision yesterday was to focus on getting ready for next week. So that's what we'll do.
I don't want to dwell on the Crows-Hawks game too much, but I know it's just another game for you guys. But as a fan, I was there at the G watching that one, and I saw all the away fans, and bloody hell, we were loud. I mean, Hawthorn, just because they hadn't won a premiership last year, a bit flat, they didn't know what was going on. And you guys played amazing, because we've had a lot of sad losses there. Do you dwell on that when you play? I mean, we got eliminated from the finals there not that long ago. We've had a couple of bad ones. It must be good to turn that around.
Yeah, I think our players internally love playing at the G. I mean, it's the mecca of football, as good as Adelaide Oval is. The MCG is where you want to be, and our players love playing there. We had a bit of a slow start last week, but I thought we actually fought back and showed some resilience in that, especially when Josh went down. I mean, a lot of people know externally, but internally as well, Josh is a highly valued player, and the way he competes in front of the ball and in the ruck is really important. So for him to go down and for us to get on top of the Hawks in the second half was a good sign.
Take me to the coach's box. A lot of fans will be interested in this. First quarter, walloped. We're thinking, oh God, what's going on here? How much was it a change from you guys as much of a change from the players?
Yeah, we hear that a bit actually in the media. My personal opinion, I think that coaching to try and move players around and motivate him in a game is quite overstated, to be honest. I think our players realise what's going on pretty quickly. And we made a couple adjustments at quarter time. But to be honest, we sort of just went back to the things we knew we could do. And it's really on the players. So there's a lot of things about, I hear that must be a great move by the head coach to put this guy there and whatever. That rarely happens now. And I think it's sort of, as I said, overstated. It's more about the players.
And how about Big Sauce just cutting everything off? As a defensive coach, you would have been happy to see that. And then to have David McKay just run and run and run, that's probably one of his best games.
Yeah, or when the ball's not coming in the defensive 50 because the Sauce has clunked him, is a pretty good moment for, or a pretty good part of the game for me. And yeah, I suppose some of those guys, David McKay's last quarter on the weekend was phenomenal.
All right, let's move to the showdown because this is the biggest game here in Adelaide. JJ, what's it like as a player currently in terms of the build-up? Is it more than you'd expect it to be?
As a non-local? Absolutely no doubt that it's a big build-up for a regular season game, particularly early in the season. But for a Victoria, we're both Victorians, and you have to immerse yourself in it to really... Mm-hmm. You have to go with the build-up because there's sort of no choice. It's the way it is. And it's another game, but the reality is the pressure and the intensity out there, at least for the first 15 to 20 minutes, is higher than normal. So... as an interstater, you do have to sort of immerse yourself in it and become part of it. Otherwise, you can get a little bit left behind.
Well, we've met 41 times, and there's so much pride on the line for locals. Now, they lead us 21-20. That just goes to show how close this thing is. We've won the last three, though, which is good, because it means a lot to the fans, doesn't it? In a town like this, whether you're divided down family lines or whatever it is, your team having a big win could make your year. Even if you don't win the final, you win two showdowns, you feel better about yourself.
Well, I think that's the thing about rivalries around the world, though, isn't it? Internally, most teams keep it like a normal game, and we do the same. Like, I mean, it's really important for us not to build the emotion too much, because you don't have to play out of your skin just because you're playing in a rivalry. But it's for the fans, and that's what's great about it. I mean, Adelaide, the city itself, is talking about it. You can see, you go to a cafe, Josh, and I mean, there's Port supporters probably... Letting you know how they
Heck
feel.
That
you,
yeah.
They're pretty happy.
In the ribs.
Happy you're not playing.
Take photos of you while you're running on the track and freak you out.
But that's the great thing about sport, isn't it? Is rivalries and playing finals. And it's probably secondary to finals, obviously. But yeah, it's a great aspect.
It's quite interesting how I get people say to me, oh, as long as you beat Port, I don't care if you lose every other game. Well, surely that's not true. that's how the old folk are. Well, the older folk, particularly at our club, talk, you know, they only care about beating Port. Yes, they want to win a lot of other games, but, you know, they just want to beat Port Adelaide. And it's, as I said, you actually have to, you know, get yourself swept up in that a little bit.
Well, the showdown obviously used to have a lot more venom to it, because football has changed a lot. There's less sort of thumping blokes, and there's the legendary story of 2002 Ramsgate after the Crows had lost, where there was the 10-on-10 fight. Now, you'd only heard conjecture about this, but Mark Ricciuto and Josh Carr, who were the main sort of operators in that big night at the Ramsgate, have come forward and spoken about what happened. Now, you can see the full story, Sunday 11:30, The Crows Show on Channel 7. Have a full watch of that, but we've got about a 50-second grab here of them breaking down the fight.
There was punches, blokes being thrown on cars.
Yeah, I knew if you got me in the headlock, I was in a bit of trouble.
He went to try and knee me in the private bits.
Oh, I had to resort to the dirty tactics and go the squirrel grip on him.
I think Kari might have went flying across the front of the bottom when I threw him.
Reports of black eyes, cracked ribs and facial injuries.
And she was on for young and old.
How many players involved?
At least 10 from each team.
You know, Port were beating us badly and we were sick of it.
Didn't like, I guess, a few of the things that I probably said to him.
I said, well, if anything happens, don't back out. And here the cop car's coming. Right, we better get out of here.
If you call that a big incident, then you've had a pretty short fight.
Cut to 2017 and there's a few nasty tweets.
That just
changed a bit.
Hey, those hashtags.
Would not happen these days, would it?
No way.
I want to know about the Port and Crows players, because a lot of fans, I actually don't mind Port Adelaide. I'm very parochial South Australian, so I'd actually rather see them win sometimes than some Victorian.
Hey, John,
teams.
Can you organise a new host next week?
Oh, I don't know. I've been Rosso. Catch you guys later. Thanks. We'll get American. Hey, no, but I obviously speak to some of the Port boys, and I think I love Brad Ebert. He's a good guy. He comes on our radio show, and I say to him, do you hate any of the Crows? And he says, no, not really. Quite a lot of them are good blokes. And people sometimes call us and say, it's an outrage. You meant to hate the enemy. Do you socialise with any Port players? Because at the end of the day, you share a profession, don't you? So
you could
have a good conversation if you were out at a bar or a cafe or something. Does
that
ever happen?
I guess what people forget is a lot of the guys, particularly our squad's made up at least half with Victorian players, and you play in that TAC Cup under 18 competition. So there wouldn't be many guys from our club who have come through that system who haven't played with people who play for Port now. So it's hard. You cross paths so much. You know, both clubs are situated fairly close. Everyone lives along, you know, in the western suburbs pretty much. You see each other so much. So you're not really going to roll into the local cafe and give an elbow or swear at him or carry on.
Yeah.
So you sort of learn to get along. And then, but when the game starts,
who's the best bloke at Port, mate? Who would you most go, I don't mind him? Who reckon's your least favourite?
Oh, least favourite?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's a
your
tough
favourite,
question.
Your least favourite?
My favourite's an easy out, because I spent a year with him at the Bombers, Paddy Ryder. He's a great fellow.
He's a
very quiet, very good player. He's probably my favourite.
Well, who will you have niggle with in the showdown?
I don't know.
You and Trengrove had some probably good
battles over the years. That's the thing. He's a really good fellow. I've seen enough of him around town to get to know him quite well. And then, but he, you know, he get that white line fever, and he'll crack you in the guts when you're not watching. But that's all part and parcel of footy. So, you know, that's probably exactly to your point. We don't have many guys that you say, oh, you purely hate them, because it just doesn't happen.
Well, I thought it was quite interesting, though, how Roo and now Carr, they years later, you just go, ah, that was then. This is now. Yeah. You move on. You said you had some stories you wanted to share about the showdown, JJ.
I do have a story from last year's showdown. The first one when we I think we won by about 10 goals. So it was half time. I'll set the scene for you. It was half time. We got a little bit ahead of ourselves, the boys, or these two boys in particular. So we're up 83-32. So we're feeling like, Pods, I know you're in the coach's box, still thinking we've got to push kick away. But as players, we're thinking, we've got this in the bag. So we've run back out after half time, up by 8 goals or whatever it was. And I've looked at Lynchy, and Lynchy's looked at me, and I said, I've kicked 4 at this stage at half time. And Lynchy's had about 15 touches and kicked 2. So he's going all right as well. And I've looked at Lynchy and said, I think I can smell a showdown medal here.
And oh, wow.
What does it smell like, JJ?
I'm not sure because I never got near it in the second half. Unfortunately, that's I had karma. 2 touches in the second that's half. Karma. But Lynchy said to me, Lynchy just gave me a little grin with those big teeth of his. And I knew he was thinking the same because he'd done it right. So he's ended up with 21 disposals and kicked 6 and ended up with the medal. So not only have I predicted that I was going to win the medal and told him, he's actually come out with a medal. And he reminds me of the fact every time showdowns come around. So we did get it. Thankfully, we hung on and won. So if the coaches are a bit worried about our state of mind, we still dug in. Well, I didn't. But.
Next time I see you sucking in the big ones, I'm going to think, he's not tired. He's trying to sniff a medal. Look at him go. He's got ahead of himself again, JJ.
I guess that's a part of footy. Sometimes you've got to be able to enjoy footy
able to enjoy footy. Let's be honest.
Yes,
it's a long year and a grind. Every game's a grind. Mm. So
it is a big sporting rivalry. There's lots around the world. Tottenham, Arsenal, Roger Rafa, West Coast Freo. My favourite one, Brisbane Gold Coast. I mean, that's got so much history and feeling towards it. Nick Kyrgios versus himself. I mean, there's some great battles out there in sport.
Kyrgios versus Walker. What about that one?
you galoot the peanut. I think we could just have a little chat here about just rivalries in general. JJ, you'd had some interesting thoughts on some enemies.
Yeah, well, I actually raised this with my girlfriend Hannah last night, and she said, what about potato chips, crinkle cut or thin cut? And the less decision I could make. So, James, I'll put you in the hot seat.
I'm going crinkle because there's structurally more sound and I win the fight.
It depends on the cut, though. The Smiths is a real good crinkle, but then you've got the Red Rock Deli, which is an elite operator of a chip. But
you know lots about chips, don't you, Amos?
Well, while I'm watching you boys, I do have a few.
Well, you have to take into account the flavour as well. That impacts it quite strongly.
Sorry, Jay, I'm going the crinkle.
Yeah, I'm crinkle.
Where does the grain
probably
wave come into this, though? I mean, that's throw a spanner in the works here.
So we got the wave, the crinkle, or the thin.
And I probably know your answer, Pods. Yep. Dogs v. cats.
Dog.
Because cats are underrated. Mm. They just do their own thing. Low maintenance. They come back every 3 days for a feed.
Nah. They're underrated for a reason.
Can't sell a cat.
Nah. What do you got? You got a cat too, JJ?
Well, I had a cat in a rental property that I was in, which I wasn't allowed to have the cat there. Patrick Dangerfield decided to go on radio and say, Josh has got a cat in his house. And the landlord said, the cat's got to go. The cat went back to my grandma's farm in Swan Hill, Victoria. And within a month, a tiger snake got it and it died.
Oh, I do remember that story, actually.
Yeah.
And Patrick Dangerfield
went
back to the
cat.
Pat
thinks it's quite funny. My cat died, so I don't quite see the humour. But
he's not a well human, though. No. He does not like animals at all.
Dead cat. Oh, man, that's far from funny, I would think, but
man, any bloke that surfs in a tuxedo is not all there. But anyway,
what about Batman v Superman?
Ooh. Batman.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Batman.
Yeah, yeah. He dresses well. He's actually like a person with cash, and you know what I mean.
There are plenty of good sporting ones, both football fans. Alabama and Auburn, two huge college football teams in America. They're not. Separate. I think they're within the same state, and there's a really good documentary called Roll Tide, War Eagle. If anyone wants to have a look at it, it's an incredible story of how it divides families. You know, an Auburn girl will marry an Alabama man and they'll be split from the family. It's just incredible how seriously they take their... We think the showdown's big.
Well, how many people do you think rocking up today, their partners are supporting the other team? It'd be really interesting to do a... Can we organise that, John?
We'll do that.
But next week's show?
Yep. We can do anything.
Our producer, John Bleby, here, mate. Let's actually spend thousands into this.
Sure.
We want
sure.
It's funny you say that because any time I know a couple who are split down, it always is weird, isn't it? You go, oh, really? You're not together on that one.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I reckon it'd be about 80% go for the same team.
I've got one more. Right. Tomato sauce or barbecue sauce?
Tomato sauce.
Tomato.
Every day.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Barbecue sauce for me is...
I love barbecue. As I sit down for dinner most nights,
you're
more barbecue.
Were you born in America? Honestly. You are everything
American. I wish I was.
He washes it down with some Dr. Pepper and has some cornbread. So
we're still on topic here? Or?
All right, well, let's move on. I mean, JJ, you've had your bit. We've got the pods quote coming in a second, so mate, you start thinking about that. But we'll go to JJ's top four.
JJ's top four.
Still needs work.
Slight improvement on...
Oh, come on.
Not much. Slight improvement. I know I only had one disposal last week, but surely we can get something a bit better.
So what are we doing? We're doing a top four list of injuries that never were?
Oh, even cop it in here. No, top four current Crows players' nicknames that fans would never have heard.
Okay, I like that.
I like this
so
one.
We'll keep it above board, but number four, Matt Crouch. This is probably Tex has given him this one. It's Blurter because he's got a really wide backside. He's got a really big blurter. Yeah, have a look at him when he's playing. You'll notice that he's got an above average blurter.
I might pause it on the TV screen. I'd feel weird about it, but
Number three.
Have
number
you got his brother in?
I've added Brad in. Brad's nickname is the shovel because the boys say that he's got a head like a shovel.
If you really have a good look at him, honestly, it's shaped like a shovel.
A little bit unfair. I wasn't going to run with it, but Pod, you brought it up. Number two, Tom Lynch. Not quite as funny, but Tiggs. Everyone thinks Lynchy or Chompers or anything like that. And he does get called Chompers and Fangs because he's got enormous teeth, but that's obvious if you look at him. Tiggs, because he played four games for Glenelg when he was aligned to the Tigers, and he genuinely thinks he's a part of the folklore of the Glenelg Footy Club.
Right, he's like Graham Corns.
Has himself as a first ballot Glenelg Football Club Hall of Famer. So he's been called Tiggs for about 5 years. And number one...
Can I just say on the Tig thing?
Yes.
I love when Lynchy calls himself... In the third person.
Yeah, third person, Tiggs.
And he always calls himself Tiggy.
Whenever he kicks a goal, training, Tiggy.
Actually, before we move on again, what are your alliances? Not that you've played a lot of sample footy. Who are you zoned to before it was the Adelaide Crows?
Double Blues.
Oh,
my claim to fame, I was the... When, you know, they used to do the reverse mini draft for the new recruits that would come to town and the sample clubs bottom to top would get... I was number one pick. So obviously they thought I was going to play a lot of sample.
That's feedback, isn't it?
Otherwise, they wouldn't pick you. Anyway, number one is Rory Laird, sensational player, knocked up getting the footy this year. His nickname that you have never heard of is Desk, the Desk.
Why the Desk?
You want to have a guess? Think about the shape of a desk.
Yeah, wide.
Short and wide.
Short and wide.
He resembles a desk. Laird is short, but he's wide.
I played junior football with Laddie at the Kenilworth Football Club.
And
the
did Cooker he remind Burris, you of a desk?
He was a desk then, he's a desk now. He's sort of become a table now. He was a desk then, he's just getting even wider and shorter.
Did he talk to you?
No, he never did. He was a younger man, and he sort of had a real swagger about him where I played maybe the 14s and he was the under 10s, and we'd go, do you want to play with us today? He'd go, no, I'm playing district tonight.
It's pretty much the same now, mate. He only talks to the All Australians in the team.
Is that it?
So there you go. There's hopefully four nicknames that the fan, or five in, with the Crouch brothers, that the fans didn't know beforehand. Now they know, and they can yell it out over the fence.
Go, Tiggs. Hey, let's wrap this show up. It is, of course, showdown day. Enjoy the game, everybody. Cheer loud, and be inspired by the great Pods, as he gives you an inspirational quote.
Yeah, well, Google's come through again. And with the rivalry, I think this one's pretty fitting. So I found this one. It's it says, never sacrifice three things: your family, your heart, and your team. So, Crow supporters, it's an away game this weekend, but cheer as loud as you can to make it like a home game.
Well, thanks, Pods. Always
we all asleep now?
Yep, stroking his beard that doesn't exist. Thanks very much. Enjoy the game, everybody. And again, thank you to all of the Crows sponsors, Toyota. Go watch the Crows show. Mark Ricciuto talks about throwing Josh Carr through a car window. And other than that, have a great day.
See you guys.
See you guys.